He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's the midweek edition already of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Later today, it looks like there will be a big vote go down or up on that debt limit agreement. And right now, the market is biting its fingernails a bit with the Dow down 216 right now. It's at 32,826. The S&P, which actually broke above 4,200 yesterday, and then all the squabbling about the debt limit agreement kicked up again, and that breakout in the S&P 500 pulled back. It's at 4,186 right now, down 19 today. The NASDAQ is down 29 points. It was above 13,000 for the first time in quite a while yesterday. The NASDAQ is right now at 12,989, and the big uproar in the artificial intelligence stocks, they're consolidating right now, which, you know, that was an outsized move, so I don't think there's anything to worry about there. The small caps are down 0.6%. Crude oil is down 55 cents to 68.91. We're seeing some weakness in the Chinese economy. Gold is up 490 to 1982. The 10-year is pulling back. It's at 3.65. And you've got Bitcoin's getting whacked today, down 694 to 27,105. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, the midweek edition. With professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Keit is here, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, the vote for the debt limit agreement passed a key hurdle last night, 7-6 in the House. Now that's just in one committee, okay, a very important committee. So I think that looks like it could be a pretty narrow vote, could go either way later today. I don't know what time they actually vote on that. But that is kind of what's got the market held hostage right now. And some weakness out of China, continued weakness out of the economy in China, also holding the markets back a little bit today.
Yeah, it looks like, I think when we started the show, I was looking at the NASDAQ and it was, dead zero all the way across. So
yeah.
We're waiting, we need to, keep an eye on the whips whipping up some votes, in the House with the vote count, and we'll see what happens whenever they finally get to a vote. C-SPAN has got some viewership today, right?
Ah, good. Yeah, let's tune in to C-SPAN all day and watch the vote. That's really exciting. Now, on the other hand, the 1 month Treasury, which was pushing up against 6% here recently, has dropped down to 5.2%. So it's a lot more hopeful recently here about some kind of a resolution to this whole thing.
Going in the right direction. I was looking at it yesterday. I think when we started the show yesterday, it was down 31 basis points in one day, which is in the bond world is a pretty big move, especially when it's a one-month treasury.
Yeah, okay. And the other issue that I'm seeing here, the pullback here in the AI from last week, you know what? That was such an outsized move for those 3 days. It was pretty incredible to watch. Of course, we enjoyed it quite a bit also because we were right in the thick of it. I don't think there's anything unusual to see a little bit of consolidation in AMD and NVIDIA. And Broadcom, who will report tomorrow, and ASM, and the other stocks that are kind of on the outskirts of town of the artificial intelligence community. And I don't think there's anything to worry about there. China's a little bit worrisome. You know, they've got COVID coming back. China, you see a lot of that show up in the price of oil. The demand has not really come back there in China. And they seem to be going the wrong direction with their COVID issues. And we're seeing that show up in their the economic numbers coming out of China. Now, the S&P 500 broke out yesterday, just as I've been predicting, or as we've been predicting. That magic number for the S&P these days is 4,200. And it did get up above there yesterday, and then they started squabbling over the debt limit. Look, if I was on the Republican side of things on this argument, I would be not too happy with what they what McCarthy agreed to. It was doing nothing about the debt limit for the next 2 years. There is no limit. In other words, removing the limit on debt for the next 2 years and really only capping spending at no growth, or no, a little bit of growth next year and no growth the year after that. So there wasn't really much of a concession made on the part of the Democrats. So we'll see if it's going to fly.
No reduction.
Nah.
Right, and no, I mean, and basically no reduction. They just agreed on how much the spending will rise, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Intel and Qualcomm, they had a good day yesterday. I don't know if they're finally starting to get caught up in AI, but Qualcomm has been a very poor performer. Probably, well, it and Intel have been the worst performers in the semiconductor industry. So, yeah, I think the big news today comes down to this vote later on today. I'm not so sure it's going to pass. You know, yesterday I said I think there's going to be a little bit of heartburn on the side of the hardliners in the GOP, and there obviously is. In fact, there's some calling for a change at the top. You know, they finally had to kind of hold their nose and vote for Kevin McCarthy, a lot of them. They wanted new leadership in the House, and now they're calling for new leadership in the House again after, you know, he really didn't make any kind of headway in getting this whole budget and debt under control at all. Well, you know, the other fallout from all of this debt crisis talks, the 30-year mortgage went clear up to 6.91. That's the highest we've seen it in quite some time. I mean, it was 6.69 last week. So you've seen a big rise in mortgage rates. And I just think that's because the bond market's pretty much out of whack right now until this thing gets solved. You have such a, you know, pressure on the short end of the yield curve, the 1 month, the 3 month, the 2 year, that has kind of thrown the whole bond market kind of crazy right now. If I was going to get a mortgage, I think I would wait until all this debt thing passes. But it did hit 6.91 yesterday, and mortgage applications fell for the third week as interest rates soar. Now, for the good news here, inflation is dropping around the world, and it continues to drop. In Germany, it went clear down from 7.2 in April to 6.1 in May. And Barry, I don't know if you look at chart of natural gas. Have you looked at a chart of natural gas lately? It has absolutely plummeted. Is natural gas going to go negative? You know, the production and the supply is so high, and that was one of the big driving forces behind the inflation in Europe. And it's just incredible how volatile natural gas and actually crude oil and gasoline can actually be. I mean,
well, in Spain too, you had I think Spain came out with an inflation report that was much lower, I think, than anticipated. Which, you know, I mean, you take them as a barometer, right? And in reality, right, we should. I mean, they, you know, their energy is more expensive than ours, and so in that, you know, you kind of extrapolate what's going on there, and that should you know, you would think, right, that that's good for inflation here and around the globe.
Yes, and France also reported inflation today, 5.1% in May. Now, that's not down to 2.5. 2 is the ECB's target, but 5.1, I mean, it's been cut in half now. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Fed's next meeting. There are new odds out today on the chance of a rate hike in June. And there's been quite a big change, actually, in those odds over the last week. And when we come back, we'll talk about that. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, June the 13th and 14th in Minneapolis, actually Bloomington, Minnesota, at the Radisson Blue. 2 days, Barry and I will be meeting with folks that want to meet with us. And we'll be there at the Radisson Blue, which is attached to the Mall of America. Plenty of parking right there. Nice place. Very nice place. You can go check out, roam the mall, do a little shopping after you meet with us. Give us a call to reserve a spot at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, well, you know, the folks on the Fed, they don't always agree with one another, and they do a lot of speaking in between meetings. Cleveland's Loretta Mester said on Wednesday she sees no compelling reason to stop hiking interest rates as long as the data shows more needs to be done to control inflation. And in fact, she's kind of the consensus right now, because the markets are now pricing in a 65% chance of a 25 basis point hike in June. So we're not in the consensus anymore. I've been saying that I don't think there's going to be another rate hike, but I'm part of the 35% on that side of the aisle. 65%, there will be one.
Yeah, and we'll find out when we're in Minneapolis on the 13th and 4th. I think their meeting's on Tuesday and Wednesday when we're there.
Yeah, so. I don't know that the market will exactly like another rate hike. And you know that percentage of a rate hike has gone way up. It was only 30% last week. I don't know what's raised it so much. Well, I think it was the PCE, right, that we had report was hotter than expected.
Yeah, that came in, I think, a tenth hotter than expected, and, you know, both on the top line and the core last week. And then I guess today we had the old jolt data in terms of job openings. And I think we're over 10 million job openings, which I think was way above consensus, which gives, you know, at least data-wise, gives the Fed, you know, some leeway to potentially raise, you know, whether it's in June or potentially in July, I believe. So,
well, I mean, there's a lot going on in China, too, here today. Not only, you know, they're voting in the Congress today, and we've got a Fed meeting next month, but China continues to stumble. China's factory activity contraction deepens to a five-month low in May. And, of course, this is showing up in oil prices and natural gas prices. Copper continues to go lower. I'm watching the you know, the commodity stocks, the Freeport-McMoRans and the Billitons of the world, and they continue to struggle. And you've got two big CEOs in China right now. You know, look, there a day never goes by where Elon Musk isn't in the news, right? Somewhere, something. Elon Musk is in China. You know, China accounts for 22% of Tesla's revenue, all right? So it's a pretty big customer. You know, the two largest economies continue to move further apart, the U.S. and China. But there's still a lot of companies, obviously. I remember not too long ago, everybody wanted in on China. And then they found out, you know, it's tough. It can be tough to do business there. But Tesla has a very big footprint in China. He has a gigafactory in China. And, you know, he needs to keep good relations with China. No matter what the U.S. government and the Chinese government are going at it over, Elon Musk needs to keep good relations. And, he's meeting with top people over there in China. So we'll keep our eye on that. And I have noticed that Tesla stock has been performing pretty well here recently while he's been in China. 200 kind of seems to be the level right now that it doesn't want to really break through. That's the resistance level. And a Tesla is down today, 197 right now. It can't seem to get through that 200 mark. And the other CEO that is in China right now is Jamie Dimon. He is in a global China summit in Shanghai. And he said, you know, we're here to stay unless there is a war or a civil war. He says, we're not predicting any of that. There's always going to be risk. But those are the two things that would drive J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon. And I remember not too long ago when they asked him what he worried about most for the economy and the markets this year. He said two things, Russia and China, talking about, you know, the deteriorating relationship that we have with China. Okay,
speaking of... Well, and I was surprised he was going back, because, I mean, yeah. Remember, I think you were talking about those comments, and maybe it was, you know, I want to say it was about a year ago or so, and it was like, you know, the comments that Jamie Dimon made in regards to China, like, I mean, you know, if other CEOs that disappeared in China for those kind of comments. So I was absolutely surprised he was going back.
Maybe he won't return. I don't know. We'll see.
He hasn't been in 4 years. I think this is like, he hasn't been really, I think, in since COVID.
Yeah.
And of course those comments, I mean, Jack Ma, I believe, disappeared for less comments than what was made. So.
Yep. Well, and you know, who is it? There's an arrest warrant out for Lindsey Graham, right? Is it Russia or is it China? I think it's Russia that has an arrest warrant out for Senator Graham from our great state of South Carolina. Maybe they'll take Jamie Dimon while they're at it. Okay, Twitter. Fidelity is an investor in Twitter, even though it's a private company. Fidelity now says that Twitter is worth one-third of what Elon Musk paid for it. And, of course, Musk tried to back out at the last minute, and he just didn't see a pathway through the courts of doing that. Twitter, according to Fidelity, which has a pretty good handle on pricing companies, the home of Peter Lynch, they say Twitter's worth about $15 billion, or a third of what billionaire Elon Musk paid for it. Of course, what will Elon make Twitter into? You know, that remains to be seen. He's made some pretty good progress so far, but he paid way too much. So you think you've made mistakes in buying and selling stocks. It looks like Elon Musk could have gotten Twitter a lot cheaper than what he paid for it. All right, well, artificial intelligence is coming to restaurants now. Restaurants. You know, it's everywhere. I'm seeing almost every day 5, 6, maybe 10 companies saying that, associating their name with artificial intelligence. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about some of that. This is Bill Gunderson, and who are the players? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where the market is being held hostage right now as we await a key vote. She extended the deadline, I think, June the 5th or something like that, until they run out of money. Well, that's not too far. Tomorrow's June 1st. And there's a key vote that's going to take place by the House, which is controlled by the GOP today, as to whether or not they'll accept the deal that was basically made by Kevin McCarthy and a few negotiators dealing for the one side against President Biden and his negotiators on the other side. And really, I can't say that either side moved very far from where they were. I mean, the Democrats got their no debt limit at all for the next 2 years. And the Republicans got, some symbolic kind of spending cuts, but really not that much. So we'll see where it all ends up. But the time is ticking. The market is nervous. There's always something to be nervous about in the market, always. Okay, now I'm going to talk about a little stock that is making some waves here. In fact, it's a low-price stock here, PRST. PRST is Presto Automation. It's based in Canada. And it's a company that's getting a lot of interest from restaurants that want to integrate AI, artificial intelligence, into their businesses. Now, why would they want to do this? Well, the wages around here in our part, I see the fast food restaurants advertising at around $16 per hour to get help. I know for a long time it was 15. They were marching for $15 an hour minimum wage, and now I saw they were marching over the weekend for $17 minimum wage. So it's getting, a lot more costly from the labor side of things in a very thin margin fast food business. And it looks like the first place they're looking to use AI is the order taking. And, look, I hate pulling up to that big menu and someone's speaking to you through a speaker. I'm not ready to order yet. I understand you got to keep the line moving, but it's not like you sit down at a restaurant, and sometimes they are. They're usually right on you. What do you want to order from the bar or to drink immediately? Are you ready to order dinner yet? No, I haven't even seen the menu yet. I haven't even sat down. I don't even know where I am yet. I got to gather myself. That's where they're looking at it. Jack in the Box, Del Taco plan to roll out voice AI at the drive-thru with Presto. Okay, this is this company. I'm gonna put this one on my watch list. It's been volatile. It went public last year. It's been as high as $10 a share. It's currently at $2.80 per share. They just started getting their first orders last fall for their artificial intelligence taking orders at the drive-thru window. And you've got a couple of big players, Jack in the Box and Del Taco, and also Carl's Jr., Hardee's, also looking into it. Wendy's is also...
How would you, How would you like to program? How would you like to program that system?
Well, there's a lot of what ifs.
Who all of us ordering a bunch of different
one
ways
burger
and fashions,
with
right?
No onions. The other one doesn't want pickles. If you got four kids in the backseat and they're all barking orders at you, and you're trying to order, and one guy doesn't want ice in his drink. Another one doesn't want salt on their fries. Definitely no onions on the burger. I used to love McDonald's. You know, their onions are like microscopic. And one of my kids would want me to pick them all off, all them tiny. You'd need a magnifying glass to get all those little onions. But anyways, they're going to try it. And PRST is the company. And then there's a couple others here. Wendy's is in the AI game with the partnership with Google Cloud, and they're trying it out. Meanwhile, restaurant giant McDonald's is in the early stages of testing AI in the ordering process, both in the stores and in the drive-through lane. So anyways, we've got a new stock to keep an eye on, Presto, PRST. That's one of the downsides of AI. How many jobs will it replace, right? You may not realize it, but this is a machine doing the show today. I took the day off and went fishing. And you're listening to Bard, the Google AI, doing the show. Probably couldn't do worse, right? Anyways, AI is coming to a drive-in theater, a drive-in restaurant near you. They should be asking AI, how can we create a better product? How can we deliver? How can we do more what In-N-Out Burger does, more what Chick-fil-A does? There's always long lines. In fact, Chick-fil-A has people standing in the line taking your order. You know, like 20 deep in the line, they're taking your order manually and entering it into the kitchen. So that's their artificial intelligence, is real people. They seem to be doing just fine. The lines are around the block usually. U.S. crude slides below $70 a barrel. Natural gas plunges on record output. Saudi Arabia's blaming Russia. Russia is dumping all kinds of oil on the market to try to pay for their war in Ukraine. So you got a mess right now in the oil markets. And now you've got worry over the debt ceiling hitting the oil markets. Maybe, I think once they get this thing resolved, how long has this been going on now? It's been going on for a month, it would seem.
And I mean the runway before that, right? I mean, you knew for 2 months prior to that, you knew that it was obviously looming, and then of course we've been basically had the debate for at least the last month, right? Almost all of May.
Well, this will put it to bed for 2 years if they agree to the deal that's on the table. 2 years, we won't have to worry about this. In the meantime, Warren Buffett. Berkshire Hathaway buys another 4.6 million shares of Occidental Petroleum, which has been a very difficult place. Look, the energy sector has been a very difficult place to invest in this year. In fact, it's been a poor place to invest in, especially the natural gas stocks, which were some of the darlings from last year. It's funny how Barry last year, tech was upside down and liquid natural gas was the hot ticket, right? And this year, tech is up about 15 to 20% on average with the NASDAQ. And the liquid natural gas stocks are upside down. So that's why, you got to be a little bit active in the market. You can't just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah, pull up a chart of LNG, right? Cheniere.
Looks horrible.
Of course, 52 week high of 182 and trading, right now around 136. And I mean, literally has a forward PE ratio below 5, So.
Yeah.
Like,
and
no
you
one
know,
wants to be there, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, this is how Facebook Meta looked last year. In the fall of last year. So at some point in time, The market rotates, sectors rotate, asset classes rotate. And, you know, at some time there will be another buy opportunity in the oil sector, in the energy sector, but it looks to me like it still has lower to go. Then we did get one, we got actually two earnings reports today as we're almost done. I mean, we're like 98% done. These last two aren't very good. Advanced Auto Parts, I think I pass one almost daily. On my drive around town. Advanced, that thing's down 33% today. They're slashing the dividend. I don't know what happened to the auto parts all of a sudden. And, of course, AutoZone and its competitors are also getting crushed today. We don't own any auto parts stocks. And then the last one, the two Hewlett-Packard stocks. You've got HPQ, which kind of is the equipment side, the you know, on the software side, the technology side, hardware side, it's down 2.6%. They need to announce they're getting into artificial intelligence. And then HPE, which is their services side, it's down 6.3%. They also need to make some kind of artificial intelligence announcement. Okay, what's getting hammered, what's getting hit, and what's flying today? That's always fun. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, June the 13th and 14th, Bloomington, Minnesota. If you'd like to meet with us while there, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Now, for me, the stock of the day, okay, not only is it the best performer in the Dow, it's the best performer in the S&P 500, and it's the best performer in the NASDAQ. Don't you call that the triple crown? That's a batting average, RBIs, and home runs all in one. And it's not exactly a momentum name, but here's what they're doing today. They're guiding their Q2 revenue higher. Now, remember, we're in Q2. In fact, we're in the last month of Q2. Our 2 months are gone, 1 month ago, and it was last week that another company guided their revenue higher. It was NVIDIA. Now, this stock is not up as much as NVIDIA was, but it's having a nice day. NVIDIA was up 25% when they guided their revenue higher. Today, it's Intel, believe it or not. Look at the breakout in Intel. I don't know what to make of Intel. It's a very difficult stock to get a handle on. It really is. But Intel is up 6% today. How about that? On four times normal volume. And that represents a pretty solid breakout. After it really slumped here recently, it got clear down to $26 a share. Today it's at $31.76. I'm going to call Intel the stock of the day, as they
and
guide.
Stocks are forward looking, right? As you always say,
definitely.
Stocks are, you know, the market's always forward looking, and you know, new news, right? In terms of, you know, new revenue numbers, and obviously that translates hopefully into
now they got to deliver those numbers. But usually when they guide, they try to stay on a little bit of the low side so they can beat that guidance. Intel also pays a dividend yield of 1.6%. Well, you know, I can say this. I've been following it pretty closely. The CEO has promised a turnaround. Okay. I remember when Joe Namath promised a Super Bowl victory over the Baltimore Colts in like Super Bowl number 3 or 4, and he's delivered. Joe Willie Namath delivered. They upset the Colts. And this CEO has promised a turnaround. And I can just tell you, just looking at a chart of Intel, It has built a pretty good bottom in about the $25 area for quite some time, all right? It's been hovering between 25 and 30.
And tested it at least three times in the last 12 months. So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty solid support at $25 for sure.
It would almost seem, you know, I have no idea, but it would almost seem like someone like Warren Buffett is in there buying. I wouldn't be surprised at the end of this quarter when they do their buys for the quarter. You know, he made a big foray into Apple not too long ago. It would seem that Intel would fit his valuation criteria. But, you know, having said that, I can't tell you that he's the one that's doing all of this buying. But somebody's in there buying Intel, and you've got a breakout stock of the day. Okay, now in the Dow, anything that's sensitive to the economy and the vote in Congress not doing so good today. 3M is the biggest loser, down 2.6. Home Depot down 2.8. DuPont down 2.4. J.P. Morgan down 1.9. Now, on the bad side of things, what I don't like that I'm seeing is a renewed selling in the regional banks. And I know one of them's under investigation. Comerica is under investigation for something. And Comerica's down 6.7% today, but you're also seeing KeyBank down 5.7, or KeyCorp. Zions down 5.6, so renewed selling in the regional banks. And, of course, that was our last big worry. I thought that worry was behind us, but it looks like it's coming back. Let's just look at the regional bank ETF here real quickly. Yeah, it looks okay. I just think it's...
It's Comerica. You know, they had essentially violated... They breached some compliance rules with the Treasury Department Direct Express program, was that intentional or not intentional, right? It's kind of still a developing story, but I mean, you look at the stock today, down 6%, which, you know, those regional banks had really put in a solid bottom, which was ideal, and of course A lot of your news went towards the debt ceiling. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, once the debt ceiling gets cleared up, right, then, you know, maybe the shorts begin attacking this again.
Yeah, the other one, too, here that's looking pretty good on the upside today, besides Intel, it's kind of up, it's Coors, all right? Coors Light has benefited from the whole Bud Light fiasco. And, you know, Coors Light, Molson Coors was $49 a share about 2 months ago. Now it's $62 per share. And on the other side.
I talked to a local restaurant yesterday, Bill, and they're ordering basically a third of the amount of Bud Light that they order normally. So, you know, human behavior and what purchases are. They're literally, they're still selling the same amount of beer. They're just selling, you know, one third of the amount of Bud Light that they used to order per week.
There's definitely a backlash. Then the other stock, the semiconductors are down a little bit. I don't think there's anything to worry about there. Micron's down 4%. It's got a little tiff going on with China. And AMD is down 3%, but after what AMD did the last couple of weeks, you know, this is normal consolidation in these areas of the market. So anyways, that's what's going on.
It's healthy for the
chart. It's healthy, yeah. Absolutely. You can't just have straight-up moves and not have them settle down and consolidate and get all the hot money out of there. All right, so maybe hopefully by tomorrow we'll be have one thing out of the way. Maybe things will settle down if we can get a resolution to the debt limit. I don't know. I think it's kind of up in the air right now, which way that vote will go today. In the meantime, look, we'll look for opportunity. There's not a lot you can do until there's some kind of a resolution. Get the newsletter from last week. Talk to us about your portfolio, 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.